Today we're gonna look. We're gonna start a new series. We were gonna start it last week, man. Thank you guys for last week for honoring myself and my family. It meant a lot to us. We thank you for that. We love the fact that God has called us to here and that we get to be a part of what's going on. Thank you for that. It was an amazing week for us. But the cool news is I just pushed off the message from last week to this week, and we're gonna start a series called Under God. And how many of you know our country is divided right now? I would say our country is more divided than ever before, but when I look through history, there are times where we are completely divided as a country, right? And this is what we need to do. We need to look at each other in love as Christians and come back together. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about politics over the next little bit, but I think it's going to be a little bit different than what you normally do. How many of you know there's two things that most people stay away from at family function? That's religion and politics. We're going to take care of all of it right here, right? I love it. So this series, man, comes out of our Pledge of Allegiance, actually, and the last little bit of it. So I remember as a kid, every day standing up, putting my hand over my heart and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I remember every day being taught that our country is something that is so amazing that people all over the world wish that they had, right? How many know in every good thing, there's still a lot of jacked up stuff, right? Right? So no matter how good our country is, there's still a lot of stuff that I'm just like, for real? Like, no, that's not even right, right? I would do things completely different, but that's probably why they didn't put me in charge, right? So there's that. But I remember the Pledge of Allegiance, and it starts like this. It says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, right? What we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks is one nation. We're going to talk about under God, indivisible, and then liberty and justice for all. That's the next 4 weeks that we're going to go through as we're coming up to our election time, as we're coming up to a very important time of our country's existence and the direction that we're going to be taking. And one of the things that I'm not going to be doing is telling you who or what you should vote for or stand behind. I believe the Bible tells us enough of that. I believe that we are to listen and pray and allow God to put on our heart who we're supposed to vote for and what we're supposed to do. Amen. And I do believe that even if you have a different opinion than me, I'm still supposed to love you, and we're still supposed to stand side by side. I mean, you know, I have family members that I love, that I love, that I love, but me and them, we fight like cats and dogs, right? My brothers and sisters growing up, there were some times that it was rough growing up as a kid just because of our arguments, because we each wanted our own way, right? Right? And I'm just going to, since they're not here, and none of them, and I'm just going to say they were wrong and I was right all the time. Y'all remember that, because I know y'all are on there. Anyway, Just kidding. How many of you were the hard-headed kid, like in your family? Like, okay, that was me, and I'll admit it, I'll own it, and we'll move along quickly. So today we're going to talk about under God, and I want us to understand something. Whether you're a part of the left or the right, how many of you know God? We're all God's children. Right? Whether this election goes the way that you want it to go or not, how many of you know God is in control? And scripture tells us that God is the one who places people into authority, right? And that regardless of whether we love them or hate them, we're supposed to honor them because God put them there. And by not honoring them, we are going against what God is doing. Scripture, okay? Scripture, not me. You can be mad at me if you want, but it's scripture, right? And today what I want us to understand is our part and the place, the role we play in it, because we're all here together. Romans tells us that as far as it is due, it's not in here. This is just a squirrel. Y'all ready? As far as it is up to me, I'm to live peaceably with everyone, right? So I'm supposed to do everything I can to maintain peace and to stay peaceful and still follow God's word and stand on his beliefs and my principles that he's given me, right? Today, we're going to talk about what we're supposed to do. And to start it off, I'm going to tell you a story. How many of you know, this is, again, this is not our home. Heaven is our home, Right? We're here for only a little while, according to Scripture. Right? And we're supposed to set our mind on heavenly things. But how many of you know we can't live 100% heavenly yet because we're not there? We still got to take care of here. Amen? What do they say that? What's that old term? You're so heavenly minded, there are no earthly good. We don't want to be those people, right? We want to be able to do what God's called us to do here, understanding that we're going to go there, right? We're supposed to do the best of our ability, what we can do here. And I was thinking about this as I was getting this message together. When I was in the Navy, after boot camp, when I came home for a couple weeks and then I went to my first station or my only station, I went to the USS Arleigh Burke, right? It's a guided missile destroyer. It was 505 feet long. 64 and a half feet wide and 8 decks high. How do I remember that stuff? I don't know. It's been like 20 years. But that's how I remember that, right? And so going in, and when I first got there, there were two things about the Arleigh Burke that were always true, and we said it all the time. It were haze gray and underway, right? The color of the boat was haze gray, and we were always out to sea. I don't know if the captain didn't like his home life or whatever, but every chance he got, we were out, right? And so I came to go to my boat the very first day, and I come to where I thought it was supposed to be, and I'm going to Norfolk, to the station there, and I'm trying to check in, and be like, oh, hey, they're not here right now, so we're going to put you someplace else. They called it TAD, which was a temporary duty assignment, right? TAD. And so I went there, and as I was there for a month, I worked at the amphib base at the recycling center. How many of you know a recycling center is not really no offense to people who work at a recycling center, but it's not very like a glamorous job, right? It's a lot of hard work. You get very, very dirty. A lot of stuff that people recycle still have some old stuff to it, so it's not doesn't smell good, right? And it's pretty much I was at the garbage place the whole time, right? So for a month, three and a half weeks, I worked there. But the whole time that I was there, do you know what they kept telling me? And the other guys that were there, not just me, because they told us all, that we were representing the place that we were going. This was not our permanent place, but while we were there, we represented a place we had never been, right? And thinking that thought, that's what we're doing here. We represent God. We represent heaven. We represent our permanent assignment, but we're going to stay here at our temporary place for a little bit. But do you know what? All the work that I did there, right? Do you know whether they gave good or bad credit? Do you know where the credit went? To the USS Arleigh Burke, right? Why? Because I'm from there. I haven't been there yet. Like, wait, I ain't even stepped foot. I don't even know what it looks like, man. I mean, I saw a picture one time, but that was it. And I don't know. But how many of you know, while we're here, do you know what we represent? Good and bad? Heaven, God, our home that we're going to. And we need to understand that. And the first thing that I want you to understand that, how many of you know, we are Americans, one of the most blessed countries in the world. If you look at the poverty level that is here compared to the poverty level that is in any other country, it's ridiculous, right? When our friends from Russia came and Anastasia and Andre were here and we did the food pantry and they came and they were like, why do these people need food? They're driving up in brand new cars. They all have cell phones. They're all doing, like in our country, if you need food, like you ain't got nothing. And we don't have all these things, right? How on earth are these people where they need this? And I'm not saying that to say that it's, look, our stipulation here at the food pantry is if you need food, come get it. And guess what? Everybody needs food. How many of you are going to leave here and go eat? Some of y'all are not eating? Are you fasting today? Or like we're going to leave here and go get something to eat. We're going to leave here and go take care of the thing that we need. Food to keep us going. How many know everybody needs food? And that's why we do what we do here. And I'm not saying it to do that, but I'm saying it to say even the poorest of people here are rich according to the world standards. Every other country. We have amazing liberties. I can stand here and tell them that I can't stand how they're running our country if I want to. Other places you get killed or thrown in prison. Right? We have some amazing abilities and amazing freedoms here, even though we look around and say, I'm not free. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to. Listen, man, we are free. And this is an amazing country to live in. But we need to understand in this this whole process that we are not just Americans. This is number one in your notes. We're not just Americans, but we are ambassadors from heaven in this place. When people see us and we claim to be Christians, when they look at our lives, when they look at us making a stand saying, this is what I believe. How many know, when I say I'm a Christian, I'm not telling you I'm perfect. I'm not telling you I got it all figured out. I'm not telling you I'm better than you. I'm just telling you that I've asked God for forgiveness and he's accepted me into his family. This is the only thing. How many know, I still got issues. I'm glad y'all didn't amen really loud on that one because it would have got to me, right? I still have issues. Amen, Pastor. You got some. Yes. No, I'm glad. And I'm glad my wife is next door. She didn't have to stay quiet on that one. But listen, everything that we do, everything that we say, the world looks at. And every stance that we make, every post that we put on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is that you like to use, Twitter, whatever it is, everything that we do, people look through that filter. Well, I thought they were supposed to be a Christian. How come they're doing those things? How come they're saying those things? Why are they having that attitude? Right? I thought they were Christians. Why are they here mad and yelling at everyone? Right? I thought they were Christians. How come they're doing this just because they're not happy? I mean, you know, we still got issues, even though we're part of the family. And this is the problem. And this is why we need to have a certain standard in our life, right? This is why we need to live by a standard. I was hanging out with somebody, and they said, okay, what are your vices? Like, what do you have? What do you have that's a vice? I'm like, well, I mean, hopefully nothing, right? I mean, I don't. He's like, well, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you don't do this. Like, what do you do that basically, what do you do that you're not supposed to do? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I get mad at people a lot, and that's a bad thing. You know, I do this, but I don't have a consistent thing that's in my life that I can say, hey, this is bad and I need to get rid of it. Other than, like I said, getting mad, my anger and some different things. Like, I look at my life and it's funny though, but that's what people look at us like. All right, so you're a Christian. What do you have wrong still? Like, what are you still battling? What are you still going through? Oh, nothing? Oh, you're perfect? Well, no, I'm not perfect. I've got issues. I have struggles. I go through different things. But again, what people see in my life is what they equivalent or give value to the Bible, to what God says, to who God is. Again, I said this, I don't remember if it wasn't last week. It was like the week before or the week before that, is that when kids do things wrong, they blame the parents, regardless of what the parents did, right? So when I was a kid growing up, as a preacher's kid, every dumb thing that I did, my dad got blamed for. Do you know, my dad had nothing to do with all that stuff and was on their side of how much of an idiot I was at that moment, right? But for them to blame him because, well, you're a part of that family, you're supposed to be perfect. Well, no, we're not perfect, but we do need to understand that what we do affects the way people look at God. We're ambassadors, is what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20, it says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, amen, and entrusting to them the message of reconciliation. So each one of us have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven and then given a ministry of what? Of bringing people to God. So I don't bring them to him. Like, I don't be like, all right, come on, let's go see Jesus. We're going to go meet him right now. That's not what I do. Now, maybe sometimes it sounds like that or feels like that, but how do we bring reconciliation? How are we have a ministry of reconciliation? What does that do? How do people see God? Through what we've done, through the change that's in our life, through the difference. So y'all see George back there? I was explaining before service to Lane, right? Lane, good to have you this morning, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to point you out. But to Lane, where George is sitting, y'all see George back there? Look at George. Everybody say, hi, George. Hi, George. Sorry, you can't see him, but he's back there. I used to stumble in drunk and sit on that row over 20 years ago. The people that knew me then still, to this day, who hasn't seen me since then, that hear that I'm a minister, think there's no way that's even possible. But it is. Why? Because God changed my life. So when people see the change that is there today, even though I still got issues, when they see the change today from where I was, guess what it makes them want to do? If God can do it for him, he can do it for me. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like where my life is. I want it to be different. How? How is it even possible? Man, how did that happen in your life? Again, I've told you guys this before, but I went to Louisiana to visit my buddy Chad. I said, Chad, how is your life completely different in 5 years? Because we used to hang out, and I remember who you were 5 years ago. 5 years, your life is totally different. How? He said, I gave my life to Christ. He changed everything. If you'll do the same, he'll do the same thing for you. Do you know what? His ministry wasn't shoving a Bible at me, telling me I was going to hell, quoting scripture to me. His ministry of reconciliation was his life changed, lived out before me. Do you know, as ambassadors, that's what we're supposed to do? That's what we're supposed to be. The ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that we can be the righteousness of God. So that our lives can be changed and it impact others and bring them to him. What is an ambassador? I looked it up. Y'all ready for the Google machine? It said a high-ranking diplomat sent as a representative from one nation to another. So we're sent here to make a difference. You say, my job, I don't like my job. You're sent there to make a difference. Well, my family, man, my family's jacked. You're sent there to make a difference. No matter where we go, why are we here? To make a difference, to point people to him. We are ambassadors for Christ from heaven, Hebrews 13, 14 through 16. For we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The New Living Translation starts out verse 14. It says, this is not our permanent home. We are temporarily here before we go and spend eternity with him. Amen? Because of that, we need to act like we're from there and not from here. Amen? Your ambassador is sent by God from heaven to earth. And this is what happens. We have a purpose. So one of the things that you'll notice about an ambassador is, how many of you have ever elected an ambassador? Ambassadors are appointed. They're appointed, not elected. Number two in your notes, you were not elected by people, but chosen and appointed by God. Chosen and appointed by God. John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. So we were chosen so that we would have fruit in our life. How many of you know we have fruit one way or the other, whether it's good or bad fruit? Like I told y'all about the tree in Louisiana we had in the backyard. Man, that fruit looked so good, but you bit it, and it was the nastiest, most sour, ugly stuff you ever put in your mouth. Right? It was like supposed to be, I don't even know what it was supposed to be. It looked like a satsuma, but it was not. It was horrible. And the problem is, because of that, I hated the tree. Because of the fruit, I didn't like the tree. I wanted that tree to be gone. Man, if I'm gonna get a tree, I'm gonna have fruit. I want it to be good so I can eat it. That's why I have it. So we had a fig tree that was right here that was huge, and man, these massive figs, they were amazing. And then we had the thing tree, whatever it was, that was there, and it was disgusting. How many of you know they both had fruit? One was amazing, and I wanted to go to it. One, not so much, and I didn't even want it there. We're supposed to have fruit. And it's supposed to be good fruit. It's supposed to be good fruit. And it's supposed to stay with us. Not just a one-time thing. How many of you know a fruit tree that only gives you fruit once? That's why it's important to remember that today is a new day. Whether it was good or bad fruit yesterday, it's a new day. Produce new fruit. Right? You're not happy with what you did yesterday? Change. You can do it. God can do it. God can give you the strength to do it. That's what the Holy Spirit is with us for. Amen? What does it say that the Holy Spirit, what did Jesus say the Holy Spirit was coming to do? He said, if I go away, I have to go, because if I go, then he's going to send a comforter. And when he comes, he's going to do what? Anybody remember? He's going to give you power to be my witnesses. That's what he says. Right? The Holy Spirit is going to give us power to be able to do and show other people how good God is. And because of it, change. We were appointed by God to go. We were chosen that we should bring people to him. And you think this thought, man, I'm trying to think who it was because I don't want to. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, right now in my life, I am not worthy to be used by God, right? And this is the thing. None of us are worthy enough to be used by God, okay? And if you're in a place where you feel like you're not worthy enough to be used by God, cool thing is you can change. You can ask God for forgiveness, and you can repent, which means what? To turn away from, go the other direction. See, one of the things that we like to do is say I'm sorry, but not really be sorry. Like with my kids, like you know that one thing you got, I'm not gonna rat them out, but they got this one thing that they do all the time, every day. Like it's an everyday occurrence. And every day they look at me like, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. Like, don't tell me you're sorry. Don't do it. Right? Don't do it. If you're sorry, you will change. Right? And we're sorry about the sin that's in our life, but we don't want to change. Right? We're sorry about the consequences that are going to come because of what we have done, but we don't want to be different. How many of you know we have to be different? We have to be different. We have to change. But looking in Scripture, we think, man, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not worthy enough. I can't do this thing. Look in the Scripture and tell me one person that God used that was worthy enough that people chose and said, that's the guy. Let's pick him. He's really good. Matter of fact, when David was being anointed, Samuel came in like, ooh, look at Eliab. He's big, strong. That's the guy. God said, nope. Nope. He went all the way down. Do you know, and this is one of the things I love about the story of David. David wasn't even counted worthy enough to come and watch one of his brothers be anointed king. Right? Like, have all your boys there. He's like, okay, well, we'll just leave David because I know it ain't going to be him. Right? But guess who God chose? Gideon, one of the smallest clan. And God says, go, you mighty man of valor. He'd be like, do you realize who you're talking to right now? God says, I know exactly who I'm talking to, and I've called you. A lot of times God calls us to things, and we say, God, do you know who you're talking to? And he says, yes. I'm just waiting for you to find out who I'm talking to, right? I'm just waiting for you to understand what I've called you to be, what I've called you to do. I'm just waiting on you to look at it. I have scriptures here, but I'm not going to read them all. 1 Samuel, David being the eighth child, says, are your sons here? He says, yeah. It's 1 Samuel 16:11. Then David goes against Goliath, 1 Samuel 17:33, and Saul says, you can't go against him. You're just a kid. He's been fighting people since he was a kid. God said, stand up and do what I've called you to do. Stand up and be what I've called you to be. Do you know what all these things were in these people's lives? It was opportunities that the devil put in front of them to not do what God called them to do. Right? God's called you to something. You need to do it. And don't allow excuses or what other people think about you to change those things. Because you know what? When Samson started doing all those crazy things with his strength, people were like, where on earth did he get his strength? Where does it come from? You know what that tells me? Like, he wasn't all swole up and buff and ripped, right? He wasn't like Arnold Schwarzenegger or The Rock or something. He was probably this little scrawny thing that came up and did amazing things. Why? Because if he would have been big and strong, everybody would be like, I see exactly where he got his strength from. Look at them muscles. He's ripped. That's not what happened. So where does this strength come from? We don't understand how you can do these things. You shouldn't be able to do that. But do you know what? God says that I can. And he's the one that put me in this position. Look at the disciples. Some were fishermen. One was a tax collector. They didn't know much else, right? We don't know much about the other guys. That's what they did. And God said, follow me. Follow me. And I'm going to make you fishers of men, right? Follow me and we'll change the world. What ended up happening? Acts 4:13 says this. It says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. But this is the one thing that they did. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You know what? You don't have to know every verse in the Bible. You don't have to. You might can't even quote the Roman road of the scripture, the Roman road to salvation. You may not even know what that is. Doesn't matter. You know what matters? What God did in you and your ability to say, this is what God's done in me. And to live the life that God has called you to. There's going to be stumbling blocks. There's going to be things that are going to come. But we still need to stand up and say, this is what God called me to. I might have fell down right there, but I'm going to do it again. You know, the first time I preached, it was rough. Still rough sometimes, to be honest. I listen to myself, I'm like, oh, Tobe. I get my dad in me, man. I hear it, oh, Tobe. Right? No, it's one of those things. The first time I ever did it, man, I was nervous. My palms were sweaty. My palms were sweaty today, too, but in my different way. But so what happens, all these things, if I were to win on that first time, I'd never be doing what I'm doing today. But if I understand it's not about me, but it's about what God wants to do through me, it makes everything totally different, right? You say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that, or they say I can't do this or they say I can't do that. Man, don't listen to them. They might just be cranky because you do it better than them. I mean, maybe. These guys were upset at the disciples because they were able to stand boldly and proclaim God. We need to understand that when it comes to ministry, it's not about what men say about us. That's important. It's what God says. One of the things we need to understand, too, that the scripture tells us about who we are and that we're ambassadors is that you are not a regular person. According to scripture, you are a royal priest of God. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be proclaiming how good God is in our life with everything that goes on. Well, you're having a bad day, but God is still good in the middle of this bad day. Could be worse, right? I think about my bad days and the days that I'm ready to quit and give up. And then I look like to my left or to my right at people that are beside me and I see their days and I think, God, how blessed am I? Right? God, how blessed am I? I don't have to deal with those things. Not, okay, this is not the publican and the sinner where thank God I'm not as jacked up as that guy. This is a God, thank you that my life is not is as hard, that I'm not in a position that they're in, that I'm blessed right now because I have I have a wife that loves me. I have kids that are amazing. I have a home to lay my head down at night. I have a vehicle to go where I need to go. I have food in my, I have food in my pantry. And I'm amazed at how many times I open my door and say, man, we ain't got nothing to eat. All this food, we ain't got nothing to eat. Man, we have a lot to eat. I have stuff in my house people would be grateful to have. But I look at it in a wrong manner sometimes. I don't understand what I'm blessed with. And we need to understand that we are blessed just to be a part of his family, right? And from there, the blessings continue to come. And why are we blessed again? To be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, is what that scripture says. He's called us from where we were, out of sin and death, into forgiveness, a place of life, and a place of blessing. A place of blessing. We need to understand that because of that, we need to live accordingly. We need to allow our lives to change. Leviticus 20, 26 says, You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have separated you from the people that you should be mine. Again, God chose us so that we could be separate, so that we could be different. John 17, 15 through 18 says, Jesus is talking and he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. We're called to be priests of God in this world with our life, a royal priesthood. Like, well, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. Well, I just don't see it. Maybe you need to open your eyes and ask God to show you who he's called you to be, what he's called you to. Because he's called each and every one of us to the ministry of reconciliation. This is another thing, number four in our notes that we need to get a hold of and understand that when we come to Christ, you never represent yourself. You always represent Christ. Always. Being a Christian is like being a parent. Like, you don't get days off from being a parent. You're always a parent. Right? Like when my daughter was... Now, I might be able to take her over to grandma's house so that grandma can spoil her. Right? Or him, if you have him. Like, you might have some babysitters that come in, but you don't get to not be the parent, right? You don't get to let go of those responsibilities of taking care of your gift, the gift that God has given you. We need to understand that when we become Christians, we don't get the opportunity to not represent Christ in our life again. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, we always represent him. 1 Peter 2:12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So how do people know that we represent Christ in our lives besides us proclaiming, I'm a Christian, or putting a bumper sticker on our car? Our good deeds. Jesus put it this way. John 13:35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know what is easy to love? The lovable ones. Some of us are more difficult to love than others. I'm putting me in that category too, because sometimes I'm not lovable, right? Sometimes I'm an idiot. Sometimes I do things I shouldn't do. Sometimes if people... When I just being honest, I told y'all about the dentist, so I ain't gonna tell y'all that one again. But sometimes my wife has to remind me who I am. She's very good at it too. She's had lots of practice, but and you know how she does it sometimes. She's like, "Well, I hope they come to church on Sunday," or "I hope they don't come to church on Sunday." How would it be for them to stand up like, whoa, that's the pastor? Okay, we need to leave this place quick. Because I saw him Tuesday, and he was not very Christ-like, right? See, our actions, everywhere we go, under every situation, point to Christ when we're Christians. Our family looks at us, our kids look at us, our children, our friends' children that are around us, right? How we respond, how we act to people, especially when they're not lovable. How many of there are some people that you can only take in small doses? When the large dose comes, it's very hard to love them at times. Don't smile too hard. It might be you. I was just saying, it might be. You might be one of those guys in somebody else's life, right? How do we show love to people that are around us? Does the love that come out of us for everyone that we come in contact with point to Christ, or do something different? If we would take the idea, the thought process, that how I act all the time is seen by people, it would change the way that I live. How many of you know God sees your life all the time? And he's the one that you should be worried about more so than people. We forget that. Well, I'm all by myself. I mean, you ain't never by yourself. You're never by yourself. He's always with us. So we need to understand that the way we love people is how people know us. It's not by how I vote. It's not by what flag I fly in my yard. It's not by any of those things, but by how I love people. We need to understand that because we were bought by Christ. Remember a couple weeks ago I said we're either a slave to obedience or we're a slave to the world, right? We're either a slave to obedience or we're a slave to sin. We're a slave to Christ or we're a slave to the world. You can't be both. Scripture tells us that we were purchased. We were bought with a price. He said, I am giving my son so that I can have you. If we understand that we're not our own, we're bought with a price, it should change everything. Well, you think, well, I'm not that important. I'm just a regular Christian. Let me tell you something. There are no regular Christians. We're all called to a ministry, right? There's a couple misconceptions in being a Christian in our home in the future and all those different things. And you can't squeak by into heaven. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. I just want a little cottage and a cabin in the corner of glory. It don't work that way. Like it don't work that way. Like, I mean, I've read the Bible a couple times. I ain't never seen a cabin in the corner of glory in there. I mean, I'm just saying. We don't squeak into heaven. We don't barely get by. We're accepted into the family. We have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, or we haven't. And just because I sit in a pew or a chair on Sunday morning at church, and just because I say the right things or I quote the right scriptures, without the relationship with God, it means nothing. I mean, I could sit in a chicken coop and cluck all day long. I ain't a chicken. I can sit in a doghouse and bark. I ain't a dog, right? We need to understand there's nothing regular about our lives. God has called us to some amazing things. We are ambassadors for him, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart for God. And you think this thought. You think this thought. Aren't you worried about what's coming? Aren't you worried about the election? Aren't you worried about who gets in? You know what? There's a part of me that's like, man, I sure hope this person wins. I ain't going to tell you who. But I'm sure going to do everything I can to help this person. But I'm not going to lose my love for other people and be mad at other people and tell them they're idiots and say all these different things because they believe differently than I do. How do you know that's not going to help? You're an idiot. You should believe the way I believe. Oh, okay, let me believe the way you believe. I'm sorry, I was an idiot. Right? It doesn't work that way. It amazes me that we still think it does. Like, I'm going to yell at you, tell you how dumb you are, so you come to my side. It's like the grumpy guy on the front walk at church, out on the sidewalk. We're having a revival. Come in, hang out at our revival. God's good. You'll enjoy it. And be like, man, is everybody as excited as you? Yeah, we all love God. Just come on in. Be like, I ain't going there. Like, Eeyore Christians, right? They shouldn't exist. They shouldn't exist. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They shouldn't exist. Well, everything's horrible. Everything's this way. Everything's that way. But God is good. Right? It's not how it works, man. We need to understand that the way we act, our mannerisms, what we do, shape people's idea of who God is and what he wants, what he can do in their lives. We're ambassadors. What if the wrong person wins and it gets horrible in this country? Well, there's already some horrible stuff in this country we need to work on, regardless of who gets in, right? Regardless of what happens. But aren't you worried about the world getting darker and losing Christian principles and all these different things? And maybe Christians can be persecuted. Let me tell you one thing about Christians in the scriptures when they were persecuted. That's when they stood up and did what they were supposed to do already. Be honest. Be honest. Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they were happy in their church. It wasn't until Saul started coming and persecuting everybody that they did what? They went to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And what happened? The church grew because of the persecution that was there. But I ain't looking forward to persecution. I don't want it to come. I don't. But I do understand that that's when Christians usually unite and come together. You know what? It's like, in Louisiana, I saw a couple things. We went through Rita and Katrina and all these different things. You know, we had a flood in our parish that destroyed 70% of the homes that was in our county that we call them parishes there, right? We had two campuses at the time. One of them got 3 feet of water. One of them got 18 inches of water, and they were 15 miles, 20 miles apart. I don't know how far apart they were. They were a long ways apart, right? Other side of the parish almost. And what happened was this. When all those things happened, do you know what the people did? It didn't matter if you were black, white, Hispanic, Arab. It didn't matter what you were. They came together and helped. It didn't matter who had what. They all shared and they all took care of everybody. It didn't matter what was going on. They all came together. And the problem is sometimes it's not until persecution and problem comes. And we all understand it ain't about me. It ain't about anything other than you're a child of God and I need to help. We need to understand that. God loves everybody. We're supposed to too as Christians, as Christ followers, as his children. We're supposed to love everybody. Persecution comes. Persecution becomes greater. The church grows stronger. Again, Acts 1, 7 through 8 says this. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then Acts 8, 1. Saul approved of his execution. Talking about the stoning of Stephen in chapter 7. And then it says, and there arose a day of great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered through the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. So the persecution came, and Christians did what they were supposed to do. Christians came together. They didn't come together. They took off, and they went other places, and they established churches in all these places. Do you know what a lot of these places ended up being? The places that these letters were written to, where churches were established. Where our scripture comes from, right? Let me share this with you. Let me see how much more I've got. I don't have much more. We're going to quit. We might be early today. How do you like that? No matter who's elected, your party doesn't have to be in charge for God's will to be done. God was on the throne long before we were born, and he'll be on the throne long after this 2020 election. He's in control. This is what we need to do. We need to do all that is in our control and let God take care of what we can't. No matter where you're positioned at, you are Christ's ambassadors. We're not just Americans. We're ambassadors of the Most High God. We're not just defending freedom of speech. We're defending freedom in Christ because we are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, passing through this earth, bound for our heavenly home. We need to understand that we need to come together as Christ followers, as the body of Christ, and reach the lost and love everybody, regardless of if they look different than us, regardless if they have different things than we do, regardless if they like different things. You know what I loved about fish? We went fishing yesterday. We were on a pier at Daytona. A couple people caught a whole lot of fish. Some other people didn't catch none. She's hiding right now. I see that. But what happened was this. There were people of all nationalities on that that pier, and we were all having an amazing time. We were all laughing and cutting up and enjoying, and there were people that don't believe like I believe. There were people who don't even love God. And we were all out there enjoying, having fun. You know what happened? If they caught a fish, we was down there trying to help them get it in. Right? Like Rob's net was like the community, like the pier's net, man. It was just back and forth, just picking people's fish up because they didn't have something to do it with. And they were just astounded that we would help, right? But it was everybody hanging out in one accord about one thing. We all wanted to catch fish and we all wanted to see other people do it too. Do you know what we should be as Christians? All in one accord. All wanting everybody to come to Christ and doing everything we can to make it happen. And being happy for those that are coming in, man. Loving on them. Well, I would love him, but he's still got a lot of issues. You know what? At one point, if not still, you had a lot of issues and people still loved you and helped you. Some of those issues, they may not understand that they're issues to us holy folk, right? Well, they don't know how to dress properly to come into church. Well, you know what? You need to wear the right clothes to church. You know, you need to make sure everything's covered the way it should be, right? And other than that, man, come. I ain't going to kick you out because you wear a hat in church. I wear a hat in church, just not when I preach. I remember as a youth pastor, so I went to church, and there was a kid who had a hat, and one of the ushers went to him and said, "Hey, you got to take your hat off or you got to leave." I said, "You know what? You need to leave. He needs to be here with that hat. I'd much rather him wear his hat and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ than to be kicked out by somebody who says you can't wear, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to be this in a church." Right? Now, that being said, is there a standard of what we should do and what's appropriate to do? Yeah. I mean, you can't even go into Circle K without wearing shoes and a shirt. You know? I think church should have a little more respect than Circle K. I do like Circle K. I'd rather 7-Eleven, though. I'm just being honest. But how many of you know there are certain things that you should and shouldn't do? But how many of you know if somebody comes in and they don't understand that that's how it's supposed to be, let's love them first and then deal with that down the road, right? Let's not look evil. At the person that stumbles in drunk and sits on the back row where George is at. Because that was me 20 years ago. And there were some people that loved me. And there were others that looked at me like, "You don't belong here." Let me tell you something, man. Again. And this is you might think it's mean to say, if you have that thought process about anybody that comes in that door, maybe you don't belong here. Because it's not about that. It's about us loving people and showing them how amazing God is. And how he can forgive anything. Anything. His mercies are new every morning. As ambassadors, we need to show people what God is all about, not represent ourselves and wear the sticker. We'll have the bumper sticker on our car. Quote the right scriptures. Say the right verses. Say the right things. Have the right cliches. You know what? I like some Christian sayings, you know? But no matter how much I say them, if I don't live them, they don't mean a whole bunch. I mean, you know, according to Scripture, we are blessed and highly favored, right? But how many of you know there's a lot of people that say that all the time, but then as soon as they're done with that statement, they talk about how horrible everything is and how miserable they are and how life is just, right? One of the things is you can't have both. Think that thought. You can't have both. Even in the midst of trials and struggles and problems, Jesus said that we will have joy and that the world can't take it away. The situations that are coming can't take it away. We need to look to God
in everything, we need to understand that people are looking at us every time we react. And are we going to point them to God, or are we going to point them away from him because of how we act and react? Amen? I'm going to shut up. I'm going to stop. You guys come up. Let's sing. I want you guys to think this thought. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Why am I doing that? It's because I don't want you paying attention to nobody else. Them getting their guitar and getting ready to sing. And I want you to focus on this thought. Your life, does it point to God? Or do you allow yourself to take over and it take people's focus away from God? Now, in saying this statement, I don't want you to condemn yourself and say, well, I'm just not worthy. I can't do it. No. The first step of anything is understanding right where you're at so you know how to fix it. Right? How do you fix it? Give it to God. Give your life to him. Allow a change to come. Say, well, that's a part of my life, and I'm trying hard. I just can't. You know what? You can. God can take care of it for you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're battling, God is the answer. God has given us freedom. Jesus paid for it. It's time we accept it and walk in it. Amen? You say, my life isn't the way that it should be. This is what I want you to do. Two things. I'm going to say a prayer. I want you to say it too. It's not the words that you're saying that do anything. It's your heart when you say them. And then I want you to live different. I want you to be transformed. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in what you should and shouldn't do, and listen to him and live a different life. Amen? We need to say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you paid with your son so that I could have freedom, so that I could change, so that I could be part of your family, so that the past couldn't control me, I could have new life in you. I accept it now. I can't earn it. It's a gift. But I understand a change will come. Help me change. Help me be who you created me to be. And thank you that I can be a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen.